All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. What's the need for training? We train because we care about others. We agree to stand, fight, and die for those that we love. Become an asset to your community, not a liability. Visit VindictaSolutions.com. Come get some training. You can also visit ReadyMadeResources.com, where the next two training courses are going to be at. Starting in February, on the 10th, we have the Shoot, Move, Communicate course. This is a two-day course. The course costs a total of $650. It will be running daytime and nighttime. And then we also have March 14th through the 17th. This is our big four-day course. That is $1,000. We do feed people lunch and dinner on that course, the two-day course. In February, we will not be feeding anybody, but we'll be getting as many reps in the shoot house as possible. No real big events or scenarios. It's just nonstop training. But that big course in February is the fun one. So if you don't have any of the basics, visit us in February for the basics and come right back in March for some of the advanced stuff. Hope to see you there.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Today, I'm going to discuss with you some things that's going on in the news. I want to abbreviate you on some of the stuff that's going on right now. regarding the attack on our troops in Syria, Iraq, and in Jordan. We got a little bit of information out here right now. First, let's hit some of the tabloids, as you may say. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. response to the drone strike in Jordan could be multi-leveled, come in stages, and be sustained over time. As early as tonight, Joe Biden will authorize U.S. military action in the Middle East in what will be one of the most consequential decisions of his presidency. Biden has decided on a response to the attack on the U.S. base at Al-Tanf on the border of Syria and Jordan, according to Reuters. However, he did not clarify now that the U.S. will specifically act, emphasizing that Washington does not seek to escalate the conflict in the Middle East. Biden faces pressure from war hawks advocating for a strike against Iran. Here's some breaking news. Iran will respond to possible airstrikes on their naval assets in the Gulf of Aden and carry out retaliatory strikes against U.S. Navy warships in the Persian Gulf and in the Red Sea, according to Iran Observer. All right. The suicide drone attack of Khatib Hezbollah Iraq on the Al-Tanf U.S. base yesterday. Well, this is now a few days ago, in which three soldiers died and over 40 were injured, is very troubling. Their defense systems were not activated, as the assumption was that it's a U.S. drone that is getting back from a mission. The conclusion, a new type of Iranian-made drone was used, thus it wasn't identified as an enemy one. Here's a little bit more news on Iran. Iran successfully launches three satellites in orbit. Iran has successfully launched three satellites for the first time using its carrier rocket developed by the Ministry of Defense and Armed Forces Logistics. State media reported a milestone the West fears will boost Tehran's ballistic missile program. The satellites were sent to a minimum orbit of 280 miles on Sunday. One satellite weighing 71 pounds and two nano satellites of less than 10 kilograms each were propelled using the Cymorg or Phoenix satellite carrier rocket. The nano satellites, named Kahan 2 and Hatif 1, will be used to test narrowband communication and geopositioning technology, says the Iranian state media. And we can all definitely trust. The Pentagon has revised the number of personnel injured in the attack from 34 to more than 40. Another official, who, like some others, spoke on the condition of the anonymity to describe the military's ongoing assessment of the incident, said that 47 troops were wounded as a result of this incident. All right, here's what we know right now about this drone strike. At least three U.S. troops were killed, 40 wounded or more, after a drone strike hit a remote military post in northeast Jordan. Officials said that the attack, the first in the Middle East to kill American forces since Israel-Hamas war began in October, was carried out by unspecified Iranian-backed militias. The strike occurred near Al-Tanf, a base sitting a few miles from the Jordan-Syrian-Iraq meeting point and lying along the Baghdad-Damascus highway. The base anchors a localized zone outside of the Syrian government control and has served as a launch point for coalition operations against ISIS in the region in recent years. In related news, negotiators are said to be closing in on a deal that would see a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip for up to 2 months in exchange for the release of more than 100 Hamas-held hostages. The majority of those released would be women, the elderly, and those needing medical care. An agreement to return the remaining hostages would be worked on within the next 30 days of the pause in fighting. Separately, the Biden administration is said to be considering slowing military aid to Israel in an effort to push the government to seek an end to the conflict. Now coming to you from the White House, the Arabian Peninsula region. A small number of United States military personnel are deployed to Yemen to conduct operations against Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and ISIS. The United States military continues to work closely with the Republic of Yemen government and regional partners forces to degrade the terrorist threat posed by these groups. So as we're taking a look at this, we know the possibility, the very unique possibility of is violent Islamic extremist attacks going on, not just within our military bases, around our military bases, targeting them overseas, but also here in CONUS. What I would stress for everyone is to be very cautious everywhere you go, looking for suspicious people, suspicious bags, suspicious groups of men. I hate to say it, but you know, you're going to be profiling people, such as the world that we live in currently. But have good situational awareness. Don't think that everybody's a terrorist just because they look different from you. You need to really have your eyes out and looking for people. The drop bag is always one of the easiest ones to look for whenever, you know, there's just a random backpack laying around. If you see stuff like that, you need to get people away from it, even if it's there, even if it's nothing. All right. It's better to take precaution, understand that a bag or a satchel charge, something like that, you want to be minimum 30, 40 feet away from that. So if you see a suspicious package and it's dropped on the ground, if you see wires sticking out of it, whatever, you need to be telling people to get back. You need to alert the authorities and be a good trained observer. Don't go kick the bag. Don't go open the bag. Don't go move the bag. You know, be smart about what you're doing. It may be something that's victim operated. Victim operated meaning the moment someone picks it up or messes with the device then goes off because it's booby trapped. I fear the possibility of more radical jihadis in America soon rising up out of their filth and expressing their unique hatred for us and for the West. This is something that I think is always going to happen. It's never going to go away. Our government has their hands involved in that. And it's good for business. It's good for war business. I want to read you a quote or two here. So this is from Nikki Haley, you know, the person who's running for president. As a military spouse, my heart breaks for the families who lost loved ones. This shows the barbaric nature of our enemies in Iran, and it shows that they would not be attacking our troops if Joe Biden weren't so weak in his treatment of Iran. We should retaliate with the full force of American strength. It's the only way to prevent further war. If we do not, these attacks will only continue. Join us in lifting up these heroes and their families in prayer. And then we have next Lindsey Graham, who says, hit Iran now and hit them hard. Iran, my friends, if we hit Iran, I do not fear we are ready for what we're asking for. I will tell you that if we strike Iran for anything, be it right or not, we better be ready for the strike back. I think many of you understand what I'm saying by that. Iran is not one to just push around. They're not Iraq and Syria and all these other little countries who, you know, probably can't really do much to us. Iran can strike us and can hurt us. Now, they're not going to invade America, but their ability to still strike us, take down our grid, you know, unfortunately, it's endless what they can do to us because it only takes the imagination for what one trained jihadi and his weapons can do. I recall once again a story that I've said many times, and I find it very pertinent. And I'll tell it again. We were on the border in 2018 and we were being warned by our special agents who were getting some intel that Iran was working on getting a jihadist into El Paso, Texas, via the underground tunnels between Juarez, Mexico, and El Paso. They were going to use the cartel to smuggle this guy in and his weapons. His weapons were chemical biological warfare weapons, and their plan was to kill hundreds of thousands of people. Now, is that possible? Maybe. How hard is it to catch one guy, especially in tunnels that we do not know about? Very hard. It was very hard then. Now, that guy can just walk right over the border. So the dangers are only increasing. The variables are only increasing. So I want you to be very cognizant that the Freedom Rally that's going down to Eagle Pass, great, awesome. First Amendment, go out there and tell Joe Biden how much he sucks. Be on your guard. Be careful. Be taking care of one another. Don't go down there and look like a bunch of buffoons. Go down there for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. You're not going to go down there and play Border Patrol or DPS. You're going down there to protest. So, you know, let your voices be heard. And anyone who's from that rally, if you, you know, watch what I do and you want to contact me, AmericanVindictusShow@gmail.com. Hit me up. I'd love to talk to you guys. But please be careful, because it doesn't take much of the imagination to think that these people want to see situations like this occur and arise so that they can take advantage of it and send their clowns in and you know, cause mass death, mass killings. I don't want to see that anymore. So that's, and you know, saying that, understand what Nikki Haley said and what sweetheart Lindsey Graham said. Nikki Haley said, we should retaliate with the full force of American strength. Well, why are we not doing that to Mexico or Honduras or El Salvador or Cuba? Why are we not doing it to China? Why are we not doing it to different parts of Africa or Russia or any of these freaking countries, Venezuela, you name it, where people are coming over the country into our country illegally and they're committing horrific crimes here in America? Why are we not then targeting them? Because once they get here in America, it's considered a crime. And so American law enforcement takes care of it. But overseas, it's not American law enforcement's problem. It's the American military problem. And because the American military means the American military industrial complex, and the military industrial complex means the media industrial complex, the intelligence industrial complex, you catch the drift. They are taking small things and making them into things much bigger. And they're going to take advantage of that. War is good money. I know. I was overseas when we got really good money to be in war. And us little guys carrying the guns, we're not the one who really makes the money. It's the Lindsey Grahams and the Nikki Haleys who make a lot of money by wanting war. A lot of stock exchanges, a lot of portfolio advancements, a lot of favors for these people for pushing war. Because only an insane person would want war, or someone who would never fight it. Nikki Haley's never going to fight the war. Lindsey Graham, he still wants a low crawl and be the first one to take the sniper shot at Vladimir Putin. He's not going to do it, but they want you to be there to do it. So what I also ask is for young men and young women, be very cautious for why you're joining the military right now. I've spoken to a couple guys recently who are joining the Marine Corps. It's great. Go serve your country. You need something to do. You need to figure out a path, and you find that's the best thing for you, go do it. I'll wish you the best and pray for you. But understand who your Congress is. Understand who your politicians are and the politics, and understand who your commander in chief is and what they all want. And when you join their military, understand you're joining their wars that you're going to go and bleed and die for. What happened at this base at Al-Tanf, it was predicted. It was predicted that it was going to happen. There's been, I believe, over 126 attacks on our troops in these regions since October 7th. That's when Hamas attacked Israel. So that means this isn't going away. It's been happening. And we keep our troops right there in the midst of everything. The State Department has already said in a media briefing that we're not pulling out of Syria. Oh, boy. Here's another thing. Douglas McGregor, he said that, and this is a tweet from him, when the U.S. government illegally confiscates $300 billion in Russian assets and turns them over to Ukraine's corrupt government in Kiev, Saudi Arabia, India, China, and a host of other countries will fire sale U.S. treasuries, detonating the explosives that will demolish America's global financial system and tank the U.S. economy. Congratulations, Washington. You destroyed in a few short years the prosperity and national power that it took Americans hundreds of years to build. Yeah, I mean, that's true. So, you know, a lot of these economic experts, of which Doug is not one, I just listened to them, they have been saying for a while, watch the economy, watch the economy. There's nothing holding it back from tanking. And it's scary to think about that, that there's nothing stopping the economy from tanking right now. Here, let's pull in another thing. There's something interesting also, since we're talking about Russia. Now, I don't know exactly how you explain this, but when you watch the video, you tell me what happened. So residents of Russia, a city called Chelyabinsk, noticed a strange flashing light on the outskirts of the city. After that, the power was partially cut off in large parts of the city. Residents reported seeing a bright light moving across the sky, followed by two flashes. Now, I don't know exactly what happened here, but as you can tell from the lights blinking back and forth in the sky, was it HAARP? Was it UFO aliens? Was it an EMP? I don't know. I don't know what you would call it. But I could tell you that if that were to happen here in America, who would we blame first? Whose power would we go after first? One of the things about prepping that I have complained about for years is the lack of rationality of people who claim to be preppers. Now, people watch Doomsday Preppers, and they buy all this crap. They got the books, they've got the food, they've got the weapons, they've got all this stuff, but they have no idea how to use it. Most people are not trained. Most people don't have military experience or law enforcement experience or experience even doing, you know, relatively safe security stuff. And yet people claim that they're prepared all the time. You know, I dare you go out this weekend with your survival gear and nothing else, nothing else. Pack your pack, your tent, your tools, your food. Go out from Saturday to Sunday and camp. See what's wrong with your gear. See what's wrong with your food. Remember how hard it was to start the fire, to put up the tent. Did you do it in a park or did you do it in your backyard? Did you go out into the wilderness and do it? Was it cold? Was it hot? Was it a thunderstorm, tornado, torrential downpour? Was it snowing? Was it a blizzard? Was it a flood? Was it a drought with fire? you have to be ready for every single one of these scenarios, because you never know when you're going to be thrown into that scenario. But you're not going to be ready for it while you sit on your couch and you complain all day about everything happening around you. So I ask people, be realistic. Be realistic in your training. Be realistic in your prepping. Be realistic in your prayer life. We overcomplicate things, and then we get lazy and we don't do anything. Such as the law of flesh. We tend to go away from striving for our best, and we settle. We settle with typically crap. You know, the other thing is good gear. Don't buy a cheap gear. Cheap gear ain't good, and good gear ain't cheap, and I get that. But buy stuff that's going to last, all right? And then also learn bushcraft skills. Learn the stuff that you can then take your 50-pound pack and learn how to use stuff that you don't need so much heavy gear for, and your pack gets smaller and lighter. The super shelters, Morris Kachansky, that's a really good one. You know, instead of carrying around all this, you know, big equipment and stuff for a shelter, he eventually just started carrying around saran wrap. He would carry around saran wrap, a couple tarps, one tarp for the ground, a tarp as a lean-to with some, you know, with some cordage strung up between trees. And then there was a thermal blanket, a Mylar thermal blanket. So what would happen is he would, and he's out in like the Yukon wilderness, by the way, by himself doing stuff like this. And so he would set up his little lean-to, you know, his tarps and all that. And he would set up his fire, and in between the fire and the lean-to, because he would always be around trees, he would completely wrap around those trees with saran wrap. And I watched some of the videos of him doing this many years ago, and then people who continue to do these super shelters. And I'm talking about, it's like 0 degrees, -5, -10, and they wrap saran wrap, just saran wrap, cheap cling wrap. They wrap that around the trees and whatnot, and they create this really cool thermal barrier. And the fire penetrating through the saran wrap, reflected off the Mylar blanket, was keeping the interior of this little shelter, I guess, at about 65 to 70 degrees. Now, you can find videos like this all over the YouTube, which is probably the best thing YouTube is for, is learning actual skills and not watching dogs walk backwards and cats playing pianos. But it made me think, you know, here I am with all my gear, and I always test myself to the best of my ability when I can. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. My knees are bad. My back is bad. And I live off of ibuprofen and water and just pure hatred and spite and coffee most of the time. Sprinkle in a little bit of pipe tobacco. And I need to make things easier for me, because you train around injuries. Unless you're going to get those injuries fixed with surgery, and even so, they're not fixed all the way. You learn to train around the things that hurt, and you learn how to just, you know, make the best of stuff. So I want to make stuff lighter. That's what I've learned. You know, I'm not exactly a little guy, but I'm not out of shape either, but I still know that I want to make things easy on me. I don't want to have a tough time if I got to, you know, run like hell out the door because prophecies hit the fan and the Iranians are coming down the road. I need to grab my stuff, give myself the opportunity to get out of town or get out into the back of the country. You know, am I going to start taking pop shots out of my window, or I'm just going to pack my bag and my stuff and leave? Oh, and by the way, is my family thrown into this? Or is it just me? Because that completely changes the entire scenario. Because now my pack is going to be very heavy, because I'm the one who's going to be carrying everything, to include the gun, to include the ammunition, to include the water, whatever the kids' packs they can carry, they'll carry. They'll have to. But I challenge people. Do you ever actually consider any of this? Or do you just get that buyer's impulse and you just start buying a bunch of crap on Amazon? You watch a doomsday thing, and then you go to Amazon while you're watching the doomsday thing, and you start, I need gas mask, and I need new boots, and I need a poncho, and I need a pack, and I need a this and a that. It is predictive programming that shows that with these type of television programs, you will then get the buyer's impulse to go out and want to buy all this crap. Vis-a-vis, every time I watch a commercial about Dairy Queen, I want to go buy a Blizzard because they're delicious, and you don't need to ask me any other questions for that. Beyond that, understand what you're watching and do your best to challenge yourself, challenge your friends, challenge your family. Hey, let's go out. Let's go camping. Let's go make it suck for a couple days. Let's all get a little bit of that training together, rub some dirt on our wounds a little bit, and see what it's like. Maybe our gear needs to be updated. Maybe we took too much stuff out. Maybe we didn't take enough food, didn't take enough water. Some of you will most likely, if you're a ground sleeper, you're going to want to have some sort of an air mattress or a blow-up little small air mattress, because getting off the ground is going to mean a lot. You don't want the ground. If you don't know this, if you don't have a thermal barrier between you and the ground will literally suck the heat right out of your core temperature. And I mean, that's where hypothermia comes in. You can become hypothermic in your sleeping bag. So you want a good ground barrier. I mean, foam mats and all that is good. But there's much better stuff out there one day. If anyone's ever interested, my partner Justin and I, who's my assistant instructor for our training company, Vedicta Solutions, he is an experienced professional backpacker. So one of these days we're going to bring him on. He's going to start, telling us the better way to start backpacking and thinking about long walking, because that might be in our future here in America. All right. This is coming to you from the U.S. Sun, who's kind of like a tabloids at this point, but whatever. Iran-backed Houthis hold secret terror meetings with Al-Qaeda chiefs to plot horrific wave of suicide attacks on the West. Now, this is dated January 25th. The Iran-sponsored Houthi rebels allegedly held a secret terror meetings with Al-Qaeda to plot a wave of suicide attacks against the West, sources revealed. The Yemen-based militia reportedly tried to persuade their Islamist terrorist allies to join their fight in the Red Sea to help inflict further pain on their mutual enemies. According to Yemeni sources, the meetings were held in both Yemen's capital, Sana'a, as well as Hodeidah, the Houthi Red Sea port stronghold. Clerics loyal to the Houthis met with Al-Qaeda chiefs in an apparent bid to convince them to carry out the legitimate duty to confront Western aggression. The terror talks came after Yemeni government officials accused the militia group of carrying out recent assassinations in the city of Aden alongside members of Al-Qaeda. Over 2 years, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which the U.S. classes as the terror group's most dangerous branch, has been clashing with the government forces as its renewed insurgency inside Yemen grows. The terror group, previously led by Osama bin Laden and responsible for the 9/11 attacks, appears to now be taking advantage of the escalating crisis in Yemen and across the Red Sea to launch further attacks. It follows months of indiscriminate maritime assaults by the Houthis, who control most of Yemen, on commercial vessels as well as U.S. and U.K. Navy warships in the Red Sea. The rebels state that their intention is to avenge Israel's offensive in Gaza against Hamas, but they are targeting ships with little or no link to Israel, turning on one of the world's biggest shipping lanes into an active war zone. All right, moving on to the next bit of news. This is from the Intel drop. License to kill: Britain's MI6 and Ukrainian website Molfar joined to, quote, liquidate critical Western journalists, politicos, and celebs. Human rights activists of the Foundation of Battle and Justice exposed the activities of the Ukrainian website MOLFAR, which collects and discloses personal data of journalists and public figures from Western counties, from Western countries who advocate peace and criticize NATO. The site transformed into a repressive mechanism by the SBU with the help of Zelensky poses a serious threat to Western public figures and politicians, defaming their personnel and professional reputations, and posing an immediate threat to their lives and duty. The Foundation of Battle and Justice has obtained evidence of the start of a campaign to physically eliminate people from the MOLFAR database carried out under the direct orders of the British MI6. Wow. That's like the next level of Operation Mockingbird. Human rights activists of the Foundation to Battle Injustice published a series of investigations into the activities of the Ukrainian nationalist website Myrochevrts between July 2022 and October 2023. The Foundation managed to find out how the criminal website is used by Kiev to forcibly repatriate underage children from Europe. Human rights activists identified the creators and curators of this website and also revealed the names of high-ranking NATO officials standing behind the website, Andrew Weisbird and Joel Harding. In January of this year, the Foundation of Battle of Injustice became aware, thanks to a number of sources, of a much more dangerous website called MOLFAR, which is an online blacklist of enemies of NATO and the current UK government, and poses a great threat to the lives and safety of Western public figures. Their personal details are published on this malicious resource. For this investigation, the Foundation of Battle and Justice was able to contact an official from the SBU, a former employee of the MOLFAR website who was involved in monitoring information and searching for enemies of Ukraine, as well as a former personal assistant to the former head of MOLFAR, Artem Starosik. MOLFAR is the website of the eponymous organization founded in Kiev in 2014 and engaged in data collection, intelligence, and open source information retrieval. Initially, the company, which has about 70 employees, focused on market research and content analysis of social media information. However, February 2022, MOLFAR came under the control of the British intelligence services and agencies and became a resource that posted a significant threat to the safety of personal activities or safety and professional activities of foreign journalists and public figures. According to a former employee of MOLFAR, who worked in the monitoring department until May 2023, with the arrival of the British, the company was transformed into an outsourcing agency for the information of blacklists of individuals who advocate peace in Ukraine, support Russia and the Russian government, as well as sharply criticize NATO and British military structures. Around the same time, MOLFAR began compiling a list of foreign public figures, businessmen, and media personnel who are considered by the British intelligence services not only as enemies and critics of Zelensky's regime, but also as persons who, for one reason or another, do not welcome and condemn the excessive expansion of the North Atlantic Alliance. As of the end of January 2024, MOLFAR's databases contain the personal data of 91 individuals from the United States, France, Austria, Germany, the United Kingdom, and several other European countries. The list of persons on whom MOLFAR has begun to conduct a virtual hunt are constantly expanding and are formed directly in the structures and controlled by the MI6. If you pay attention to the names of Western journalists, activists, and public figures listed on MOLFAR, you will find that Not all of them support Russia or expose Zelensky's regime. Many of them are critics of the U.S. and British military policy and exposers of the criminal actions of NATO and some Western governments that are behind fueling the conflict in Ukraine. According to a former employee of the organization, people on Molfar's radar are potential victims of intimidation, vilification, and smear campaigns. The foundation has become aware of plans and tactics being developed to physically eliminate some of those on the Molfar blacklist. The foundation to battle injustices sources, who was formerly a personal assistant of the head of this organization, claims that various dark web sites associated with Molfar have already begun looking for perpetrators to attack critical opinion leaders in the West. The Foundation to Battle Injustice is investigating reports that there has been at least one case in which an order to eliminate a Molfar list member came directly from the British MI6. So what do you think about that? Do you think that the British MI6, along with whoever else told them to do this, would actually start liquidating, killing, murdering, assassinating people that are politicians, media, businessmen, who are against what's going on in Ukraine and to start a war with Russia? So within the next year, should you see anyone mysteriously die that is involved in this, or be murdered, or, you know, they're driving and their car runs into an explosion, maybe we should visit Molfar and the British MI6. Here's some domestic news. Two brothers charged after a seizure of homemade explosives, ghost guns, and their Astoria apartment. This happened in New York. Queens District Attorney Melinda Katz announced that Andrew and Angelo Hatzigalos, I think that's how you say their name, were indicted on 130 counts of criminal possession of a weapon and related charges after an arsenal of improvised explosive devices and ghost guns, including assault rifles, was found inside an Astoria apartment that they shared with their mother and another brother. Instructions for making a variety of bombs, anarchist propaganda, and a hit list with cops, judges, politicians, celebrities, and banker scum squalled on it were also found during a search of the home. The brothers, both Andrew, who's 39, and Angelo, who's 51, were remanded into custody. District Attorney Katz said that the city is safer today. My crime strategies and intelligence bureau launches investigations every day so that we find illegal weapons, including guns, and in this case, explosive devices. We cannot measure the number of lives that were saved, but we do know that these weapons will never hurt anyone. My crime strategies and intelligence bureau launched this investigation. Upon securing a search warrant, we worked with the NYPD, Homeland Security, State Police, and uncovered 8 fully operable bombs, several guns, and numerous other weapons. Coming from the NYPD commissioner, today's charges underscore the harsh reality that our communities contain a small number of people who conceivably harbor evil intent. This cache of weapons, including explosives and untraceable 3D printed ghost guns, had the potential to wreak horrendous carnage. Along with our NYPD investigators, I thank all of our local, state, and federal law enforcement partners for their persistence in identifying, investigating, and holding fully accountable anyone who poses a risk to New Yorkers' safety and well-being. So it's good to see law enforcement actually doing what they're supposed to be doing. On the opposite spectrum, in California, 3 men were recently arrested for making $300,000, I believe, for selling avocados illegally. Good job, California. So let's listen to the charges that are being done to these guys and what they had inside their apartment. The defendants, both of 36th Avenue and Astoria, are awaiting arraignment on a 130-count indictment and charging them with 8 counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the first degree, 9 counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the second degree, 47 counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree, 6 counts of criminal possession of a firearm, 8 counts of reckless endangerment in the second degree, 14 counts of criminal possession of a weapon in the fourth degree, 6 counts of criminal sale of a firearm in the third degree, 15 counts of make, transport, dispose, deface weapons and dangerous weapons, 3 counts of unlawful purchase of body armor, 1 count of attempted possession, criminal possession of a weapon in the third degree, 1 count of attempted criminal possession of a firearm, and 3 counts of unlawful possession of a pistol or revolver ammunition, and 9 counts of unlawfully dealing with fireworks and dangerous fireworks explosives. That's a lot of stuff. Now, New York, they hit these guys for owning body armor. Body armor. Body armor should be something that every American, I think, honestly, every American should be able to buy. There's nothing wrong with owning body armor. And then also they talked about fireworks. We saw Antifa use fireworks as a weapon. Fireworks can be a very dangerous weapon if used improperly or maliciously. So, I mean, you can't outlaw everything, though the government will try to. But we got to understand that you have a series of people in this country who wish ill upon others, who will do anything and everything that they can in order to hurt people. Those people are everywhere. They're in every town, every city, every state. Nobody is safe from that. Once again, it's why I harp on training so much. All right, the defendant's next court date is February 15th. Hey, that's coming up soon. If convicted, they face up to 25 years in prison. 25 years in prison for owning all that arsenal to include explosives. Where are you at, ATF? Isn't that like multiple felonies to own explosives and to make explosives and to use the explosives? I mean, what about the ghost guns? Aren't those all felonies? What's interesting is that you can own all this illegally and get only 25 years. And if, you know, they're good boys and they'll get some parole, and if they coordinate well enough with their attorneys and they work with, the district attorney's office and with the federal government and the state of New York, then the time will probably drop from that as well. And these guys might serve 20 to 18 years. And who knows, stuff may even get thrown out because it always does. But yet you can go and protest in front of an abortion clinic as a pastor and just sit out there and pray. And the cops will come and harass you. Now, when I say cops, you got to understand, I used to be a cop too. Not all cops are made equal. Neither are firemen. That's why some firemen are twice the size of other firemen. Round, not tall. But what we have to see is that, I swear 10 years ago, these guys would be getting 40 years. 40 years. They had a hit list of people that they were going to murder. All right, let's continue. According to the charges, based upon prior intelligence, members of the Queens District Attorney's Crime Strategies and Intelligence Bureau, that's a lot to say, launched an investigation into the purchase of firearm component parts, accessories, and the manufacture of illegal ghost guns by these two defendants. A member of the NYPD were brought into the investigation to assist in the collection of additional data and a search warrant that was secured. On January 17th, law enforcement officials executed a search warrant on the brothers' residence, resulting in their arrests and the seizure of, wait for it, 8 operational improvised explosive devices. 8 operational bombs. 1 partially constructed tripwire IED bomb. 2 loaded AR-15 style ghost gun assault weapons. Such crap. They're guns. Each with a detachable magazine. Well, that's how the damn thing works. And muzzle compensator and threaded barrel. Why do they need to say any of that? They know what an AR-15 is. It has a detachable magazine, has a muzzle compensator, and a threaded barrel that the compensator goes onto, or the muzzle device. Oh my God. 2 loaded 9mm semi-automatic ghost gun pistols. 2 loaded 9mm semi-automatic 3D printed ghost gun pistols. So the 3D printed ghost guns most likely is the polymer lower receiver that the metal upper receiver will go on top of, unless they found a way to actually make an upper receiver and lower receiver out of plastic, which most likely the whole thing's not going to cycle correctly and it's going to explode in you and in your hand. Now, the ghost guns generally are just guns that don't have serial numbers. So that means the serial numbers have been either filed off, filled in, or whatever they've been messed with. 1 partially constructed AK-47 style ghost gun. Over 600 rounds of ammunition for each of the firearms above, and 1 3D printer. So they're saying that they were 3D printing all this stuff. All right. This will be used by Biden one way or the other to talk about 3D printing and dangerous ghost guns. 3 sets of body armor, which shouldn't be illegal at all, but whatever, I get it, because the intent of the crime was obviously they're going to take all their guns and all their 600 rounds per gun and their body armor, and they're going to go out and assault people, I guess. 6 additional AR and pistol lower receivers. I don't understand why. I don't know. I understand why it's part of the arrest and seizure on the warrant. But, I mean, you can't use that against these guys, whatever. 29 high-capacity ammunition feeding devices, 13 of which were personally manufactured utilizing a 3D printer. People are getting really creative with what you can do with a 3D printer at this point. Tools to assemble ghost guns, metal knuckles, so brass knuckles, a radio set to the frequency of the 114th precinct of Astoria, several electronic devices, phones and computer. Those are always going to be nabbed up in any type of search warrant. Numerous notebooks containing instructions on the manufacture of explosive devices and anarchist-related propaganda. Anarchist-related propaganda. These were probably not, you know, Christians going out trying to spread the gospel to people. Explosive residue and components to manufacture additional IEDs and 9 pyrotechnic smoke bombs. So, smoke bombs for a smoke screen, IEDs for which were tripwire. So that is for staging ambushes. And then the other ones look like homemade grenades with a cannon fuse. Had a bunch of guns, pistols, whatnot. What were they going to do with it? What do you think anarchists are going to do with this? They were going to have some sort of a great big attack on somebody. Once again, America, I will tell you that your country is not getting safer. It's getting more dangerous by the day. Now, if these idiots could figure out how to make this, what can some terrorists do who walked across this border some unknown amount of time, walked across the border, got into a house, they probably got a job somewhere and bought themselves a 3D printer, and who knows what they're making. This is part of many plans all folding in together. You can see this all happening. 2024 is going to be a year we're going to remember for a long time. Hopefully for as long as the power is still on. I'm not going to say that I want this to happen, but don't be surprised if we have multiple terrorist attacks in America this year, to include major attacks upon police departments, politicians, media figures, schools, you name it. Active shooter. So here's a cool article before I let you guys go. After the snow apocalypse killed the power, Silverton turns to a microgrid. So this is an article that's from the Durango Herald. Community-sized solar power grids keep the lights on and are headed to southwest Colorado. Folks in the San Juan Mountain community of Silverton, who know a thing or two about snow, called a day last February snowpocalypse, and it was bad, very bad. Total whiteout, snow blowing sideways, two mountain passes on the U.S. 5500 were closed, cutting off the high elevation town. San Juan County Sheriff Bruce Conrad issued a stay in place order to residents, and then the lights went out. The power went down at 8:30 a.m. on February 22nd and took with it the gas pumps at the service station and the electronic cash register at the grocery store. Town Hall was shut down. At Silverton Medical Rescue, it was a struggle to open the heavy garage doors, which relied on electric motors. Homes with gas furnaces went cold, though many in town have wood stoves and some still heat with coal. Water or sewer service also went down. Sheriff Conrad managed to set up a portable generator outside the grocery store and run an extension cord to the register. This way anybody who needed food or water could get it. Part of it is psychology. You want to know that there are some resources when the passes are closed and we are snowed in. It took almost 8 hours for the town's electric cooperative, the San Miguel Power Association, to get the lights back on. While snowpocalypse was extreme, it was just one of a string of blizzards, avalanches, and power outages last winter suffered by this one-time mining town, whose elevation is 9,318 feet and a population of 650, give or take. 2 weeks earlier, the substation in town went down during another snowstorm. The facility is operated by the Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association, but the association couldn't get a crew over to Molasses Pass from Durango. In advance of the blizzard, San Miguel Power sent an extra lineman to Silverton. Reinforcements for the town's one resident lineman, and with some coaching from Tri-State, the two fixed the problem. About 2 weeks after the snow apocalypse, there was another storm and another outage, but the lineman and the town's one ambulance were both in Durango and needed a state snowplow to convoy them back to town. In all, Silverton weathered half a dozen blizzards in a row and six outages. It was a major wake-up call. We knew we had to do something. Listen to this. This is pretty cool. And part of something that is kind of motivating, and I think we should all start to think more like this, that we should not be relying upon the federal government and the state government to, you know, be our brother's keeper for everything. Our small towns and small communities, even to the point of suburbs, should be taking care of one another. If not, you're on your own. Listen to this. Small-scale solar system for light in the storm. That something is to create a comprehensive resiliency plan for the town The centerpiece is a microgrid, a combination of solar panels and a large battery to provide backup power for the entire community. San Miguel Power Association is promoting the use of microgrids in Silverton, Opfer, Rico, and Ridgeway to cope with the outages of the chronically plagued to cope with outages that chronically plague these remote communities. The aim is to put a microgrid in each town, creating a local source of electricity to feed the local wires with at least 6 to 8 hours of power, more if the solar panels can replenish the battery. The community-scale microgrids we're working on are really unprecedented. We can do that because our communities are somewhat small. It could become a national model, a solution that could be replicated in other communities. So for this microgrid, I mean, this is not something that most likely we're going to be able to afford on our own, because for their microgrid, it costs a couple million dollars to get that all up and off the ground and running. But, you know, if you look at the budgets of many of these smaller towns, and you look at what they budget for and what they, you know, what they pull together, I mean, it's doable should you want to do it. There are many churches who make $1 million a year, some $1 million a month. I've been to one. It's disgusting to watch that. And yet you have communities who are so poor, can't do anything. People that are so poor, they can't afford anything. They're begging for bread. And your church keeps getting everything new. It's disgusting. When I say that we got to depend on ourselves and rely upon ourselves, there's companies out there that make very good solar, panel materials. Goal Zero is the one that we used when I was in the government. Their stuff works pretty good. It's expensive. I think it's about as expensive as it gets. But the cool thing about Goal Zero is that it's all movable. And now they have power banks. So you can actually store up these small little banks of power. You can potentially run your house off of them. Maybe not a complete load of the entire house. But, you know, I mean, if you can run your refrigerator and deep freeze and, you know, TV and whatever off of it, I mean, that's pretty much what the average American cares about. But, you know, the ability to also put tools down to be able to run that. We got to think worst case scenario and not let me just worry about what happens tomorrow. Now, the Bible says to not fret over what's going to happen tomorrow and worry about what's happening today. But it doesn't say don't prepare for things that are eventually going to happen. Look at what Joseph did to Egypt. We should be preparing. We're being warned constantly. The grid is our Achilles heel. You need to be ready for it. And when the grid goes down, the crime rate goes out of control. Your neighbor that was never your enemy, that was never, you know, a problem, that was always your buddy, has now most likely became a criminal and is stealing. And from there, it may only escalate until they find what they need to sustain themselves, and it may be your stuff. So don't rely upon law enforcement and other first responders to come and save you when all this stuff starts, because they have families and problems that they have to solve too. You know, it would behoove of oneself to be properly prepared during these times. I know I harp on training. We have training coming up in February and then March. We're going to have a Texas class. It's going to be in, I think, the beginning of April. And then right there, close to the middle to end of April, we got another Texas class. You know, we're going to have classes as many times this year as we possibly can. The goal is to get Americans prepared this year as much as we can. Right now, we don't even have anyone signed up for February. So if no one signs up, we're going to have to cancel February and we'll focus on March. And that's okay. But, you know, I strongly suggest people, get ready. Whatever is coming is coming. I mean, you don't have that much time for it. Now, there's a lot of other guys who's going to tell you that you should do this and you should do that. Listen to those guys. Buy what they sell you, right? I'm selling you the ability to protect yourself. the actual ability to protect yourself. From there, I mean, you meet me and our cadre, we'll sit there and we'll tell you all day long the stuff that we do to be a better defensive position in our lives, from the guns to the gear to the training to how we work out, to even financial stuff. I mean, it's a good solid group of team of guys that we got, and we'll pray with you gladly all the time. So, you know, we've had people come to us to seek counsel. You know, some people just let loose a lot of emotions that they've been hanging on to. So it is humbling every time we get to train people and meet new people. So, guys, keep your eyes on what's going on in the news. Don't let it get crazy inside your own head. Don't get carried away with it. But continue to praise the Lord. Continue to pray for your family. Pray with your family. Continue to train. Continue to prepare accordingly. You know, don't waste all your money on preparations. Still pay your bills and go out and have fun and all that. But be adults. This year is most likely the year when we get into some sort of a civil conflict or some sort of damn world war. Looks like that's what all the politicians want anyways. Be prepared. See, it's still January. I'll see you next time. Stay frosty.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.